Hello there, and welcome to the Bone Handyman Show. We're recording right now, as we speak, at the Little Ranch House studio on Southwest Drive right here in good old Lufkin, Texas, folks. Show number 125, and it's July 19th, 2005. Good to have you with us. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here is the host of the Blind Handyman Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Donald Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, vacation is over and done.
Well, yeah.
What a deal.
Bill had to reteach me the board when I came back.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
I was pushing buttons up and sliding pots up and everything. I was just messing up, coming and going. Anyway, that's just Tom Houston, folks. But here he is, the creator, ladies producer of the Blind Handyman Show, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Thank you so much for whatever. I don't know what I'm thanking you for, but you were a little rusty there on the old
I really was.
Controls. You couldn't figure out how to...
I just get carried away sometimes. I just don't know what I'm doing.
Just get carried away. Well, it is vacation. We've all had vacation. I've been to Padre Island on a fast train. It's 502 miles from my door to the condo that we rented, Padre Island.
Whoa, man,
that's
I didn't realize it was that
way.
Far.
It is. It's 502 miles each way. So it's 1,004 miles to, you know, down there and back. And we came home early Friday because my little Charlie Brown, I put on the list, is gone. She left last Thursday morning and just never came back.
They do that sometimes.
Yeah.
A dog. I had one when I was growing up that would do that. I mean, a Doberman Pinscher.
Yeah.
That got sick and left, and we never saw him again.
End of the line, was it, Tom?
Yeah, end of the line. Yeah, just been to the vet the day before.
Oh, man.
And been to the vet the day before. They kind of doped him up. They got him up on his feet and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
The next morning, my mother let him out the back door. He was never seen again. He just disappeared.
Right after the trip to the vet.
Why, right after going to the vet, costing my old man a little bit of money, you know.
He just took a hike, huh?
Yeah, he just took a hike.
I'm trying to get my son George's here. George's son.
Well, I thought we may want to take the downing of the tree.
Pull up
to the mic, Jay. I've got you pulled up. Pull Pat's mic up there, George.
Yeah,
where we
tape this tree cutting.
There you go. Get up a little closer.
Get a little closer. Can
you hear yourself?
No.
In the earphones?
No, I don't need to hear myself.
You can hear yourself right there in the earphones.
And George said, heck, I don't want to hear myself. Let y'all hear me.
George is taking down most of our privacy fence, a lot of the privacy fence. It's in 16-foot sections. The guy used 16-foot two-by-fours, and he'd put a post at 8 feet. So it looked like 8-foot sections, but they were really 16, which would be the cheapest way to do it.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it would be the cheapest way to do it. So anyway, he took down, so we've had to cut, the George has cut a couple. I can't do nothing, anything. I can drink and smoke a cigarette or two, but there's not much else I can do. But anyway, he's taking...
Conceptualize well, don't you?
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, he says I fed the fence down and this big tree fell. It kind of eased over. It really didn't fall, did it? I mean, it didn't just fall over.
It looked like it fell to me.
Down part of it already.
Do what?
When it fell, no, it eased. Yes, sir.
It just eased over, and it kind of got on the house. So he got it off the house the other day, and so today is the day he's taking the rest of it down, and we're going to have a big fire outside after we get through during the show and burn some parts of an old pine tree that are out there. And
now we're talking this big tree I see in the backyard.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a huge tree.
Big tree.
We've climbed it once already.
Boy, oh boy.
We're going to have a class on climbing it in just a little bit when I get out.
Well, I wasn't getting my...
Tree climbing.
My
101.
Well, no, that's what I might want to tell your sons. And
My XM satellite wouldn't get a signal. So I had to get him to get up and cut some branches out of the way so we could have XM radio.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
My son George Parr, never been on the show before.
All right.
Never been here.
It's certainly nice to have him with us.
Do what now, what?
I was on y'all's crew one time.
You were?
Yeah. I did nights at KSPL.
I don't think we ran that show.
No, not on here.
Oh, you were on KSPL one time. Years ago, we used to be.
I was part of y'all's crew.
Many years ago, huh?
That was the crew.
Yeah, the crew. KSPL, anyway. That goes way back.
Way back.
So we're a little late today. We're taping a little late. So after 6, when we get through here at 6 o'clock, we're going to go out and build this. Cut this. He's going to climb this tree, and he wants one of us out there. They want somebody out there in case I fall. Well, what the hell are we going to do if you fall? You know,
call 911.
911. That would be
nothing.
The deal.
That'd be about it, wouldn't it? Call 911.
I don't know about mouth to mouth now.
No,
sure.
Not. I hadn't thought of it. That's how this got started. Reminds me of the golf joke, doesn't it? Anyway, we're going to. That's the project today, and we're going to have all that done. Of course, you can't have you can't have a swimming pool that doesn't have a fence around it. So we got to stand the fence back up, and one section of the fence got crushed by the tree. So we're going to put a piece of OSB up there. So you got to have a fence up. If somebody walked in your yard and drowned in your swimming pool and you didn't have a fence up, you'd be liable.
Oh, you'd be in trouble.
Did you know
that? I'd heard that. Yeah, yeah.
What's OSB?
We were working on fencing.
What's OSB?
OSB is what? I don't know what OSB stands for.
What does it stand for? Do you know?
No.
Why'd you ask then? OSB is like plywood except different. Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was some kind of an acronym for something,
chips.
But chips, I guess
versus
not.
They would be chipped up. They're chipped up into pieces.
It's glue board.
Like a chipboard of some kind.
And glue to it and press it.
It's glue board.
Make a sheet of OSB.
That's right. It's glue board. And we got it because we were doing some decking up there. And it's good for that. I mean, it's lighter than plywood. It's not as thick and it's not as heavy, so it doesn't put as much weight on your roof. So we bought it. We didn't need quite as many sheets, so we've probably got a half dozen sheets out there. So we're going to put one of those up just to keep, you could push it down and get in my yard and get in my swimming pool and drown, but you'd have to work at it, so then it wouldn't be my fault. And besides that, I'm married to a lawyer, so what the hell do I care, right?
Yeah, technically it would keep folks and animals and things out, technically. Bad.
All right, let's do email. Should we?
Yeah.
Are we ready for email?
Okay. It says, "Hi all." Now this is probably child's play to all you experts out there. Mm-hmm. All you experts.
All right.
Well,
but here's a novice. Now our front door needs painting. Okay. I don't have any useful site for this job. Anyone got any tips, recommendations, so I can get an even layer with no mismatches, Kevin?
Call somebody.
This is a blind guy painting a door, right?
Call somebody. You can't do that.
Yeah, painting would be a...
But you're going to make a mess if you do.
Yeah.
Well, I read a couple of little answers to it. Now, I didn't bring them with me, but one fellow was talking about putting the canvas on the floor where you wouldn't drip paint on the floor and things like that. And not use plastic, but canvas, because plastic, the paint would stay liquid longer.
Well, yeah,
and things like that, just to keep, him from getting in trouble and tracking it all over the house.
Still, as a blind person, you're not going to have any idea what you've done and how you're doing.
Sometimes you just need sighted help.
You could have brush marks or drips or something on the door and not even realize it.
There are some things blind people can't do, and one of the things blind people can't do is paint front doors and hunt lost dogs.
Well, yeah, in that order.
Hunting lost dogs is definitely
that order. But you could paint a front door. See,
you
where
could, too.
No, I couldn't. We're not going to get into it. Not today. We're not getting into that today.
I think you could paint a front door, but then the question would be, would you get brush marks and drip marks and just all kind of
would your wife be happy with?
Yeah, that would be the... But, there's no question about you could do it in some form.
Sure. They sell equipment that's no drip.
Well, that would be the thing to have.
Okay.
Plus, one type thing that feeds a sponge.
That'd be the stuff to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, how would you know what you'd painted and what you hadn't? You'd have no way of moving in rows coming down the front door. Hire somebody. That
was my deal. I was going to say either a roller or a sponge brush or something for a smooth door. But, that if you really wanted it done well, you might be better.
Isn't Kevin Doucet, is it?
It says Kevin. I don't know if it's Doucet or
maybe
not.
We'll talk to him.
I don't remember the post.
We'll ask him about that. Okay, here's one that says, "Hi all, I have a couple of faucet questions that has been plagging me for some time, the last week or so. My kitchen faucet was tightened by my brother and I a couple of months ago as it was loose and the water had softened up the particle board underneath the sink.
Yeah.
Huh.
Now, we managed to fix it utilizing a thin slat of wood, drilling holes for the faucet pipes and tightening the faucet down. Since that time, now, the spigot on the faucet has become loose and wobbles quite a bit on the vertical plane. Now, is there a way to fix this?
Yeah.
And if so, how would I go about this? I'm asking before investigating for myself because my leg is still sore, and I would like, poor leg, I would like to spend as little time as I can on it. So I figure someone on the list.
Now, who is this? I know this guy.
This guy's Victor.
Victor. Victor. His name is Govea.
Govea, yeah.
Govea.
Yeah.
Govea.
Victor.
Victor. Victor. Give us a break. There's usually, isn't there usually a screw back right at in the middle of the back there that you can tighten down and tighten that?
I'm not sure. George, is there?
Yeah.
There is?
To tighten that. He's talking about if there's a faucet on each side and a swing thing in the middle that the water comes out of. There's usually...
Yeah, the swing thing
fits on top.
On top of the.
But see, you can't do visuals on the line anyway because nobody can see.
I know, but I touched
you. I understand.
Dead center of this.
There's usually dead center right at the back. There's a screw that you can probably tighten up. If not, you might take the faucet off, and the screw, the tight thing to tighten it up, might be under the faucet assembly.
Be like taking a gas cap off a gas can.
Yeah,
it would be the same thing. It's a ring around.
You're
going
to have to.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to you. Yeah.
A ring around
the what would come out of it, which you're calling the spigot.
Yeah.
Did he call it not a spigot?
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
What comes out of the middle? It would be a ring around it. There would be a ring like threads, and you would thread it back down on it, and the tighter you get, it would stop water from coming out the side.
You would think so, but there's probably a little gasket around there.
Yes, washer is in there.
That gasket may be worn out. You may have to take the whole thing off and buy a new gasket. But, you know, of course, you might consider just going and buying a whole new faucet assembly, really.
That would probably be the thing to do, I would think, would just be to buy a new faucet.
Okay, now the other question he has is whether a swiveling aerator sprayer converter can be repaired.
No.
I don't think so either.
Take it off, take it to the hardware store, and buy a new one.
Okay.
You can take that screen out and clean it if you want to, but that's a waste of time. You know, for $3...
Sometimes that's the best plan.
You can just go buy a new one.
Go to your local hardware store.
They'll be happy to. They'll have exactly what you want.
They'll sell it.
So you can take the screen out and clean it, get all that nasty stuff out of there and put it back on, but... What if you know, how...
They'll be happy to help you. A hardware store will be glad to...
Well, now, let me tell you...
Hang on.
Do what? I'm leaving.
Are you leaving?
See you, George.
I thought you were helping us do the show. What do we get through with
the
email? Come here,
Sam.
Yeah,
might as well hang around for a while.
Anyway, you want to know what Dale Levin said about it?
We get the guest on, you can go.
Go ahead. What did he say?
He said, I would remove the sprayer, dunk it in for a few hours in a container of vinegar. Now, this would remove any mineral buildup.
Cheap is what he is.
Any caught in the screen as well. Now, if that isn't the issue, then sell the house.
Yeah, there you
did he
go.
Say that?
Yeah. Sell the house.
Then sell the house.
That's
good.
That's a good one.
That's good.
He said, Cy pretty well explained about the spigot. Now, the nut at the base tightens down.
Yeah, it does.
Compressing a fitting over a rubber ring.
There you go, man.
Now, what often happens is that people push and pull on this spigot, which tends to form it into a slight taper so that tightening the compression no longer compresses it. Mm-hmm. And this may be where the water came from to destroy the original mounting.
I'm sure it is.
You may still be having a little dripping under there and beneath the cowling where you don't see it.
You know, Victor, $19.95 will buy you a really nice new set of faucets that you can bring home and put on. They'll have nice little handles on them. Your wife will be real proud of you. She'll be happy. That night she'll probably say, Victor, would you... I'm sure you won't do that, but anyway, she'll just go buy a new faucet and get done with it.
That's right, done deal.
Okay, moving right along here. I just heard the Blind Handyman Show with Paul the Cabinet Maker and Braille Repairman.
Yeah, good.
That was a good show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Jay and I have a collection of two of those pocket brailers that write on paper tape rolls. They're called Banks Brailers.
Yeah.
397 moving parts, Now, that's blind trivia.
Yeah.
So here's really my handyman question.
Yeah.
Just what is WD-40 actually good for? I keep hearing more things not to use it on.
Well, I was told this years ago by a guy who, and I said, that's wrong. WD-40 is mostly a cleaning agent. You can put it in your we know one thing. Don't put it in your George and I here put it in our track for our sliding door. Don't do that.
It doesn't.
Didn't work.
It does accept water.
Oh, really?
It's good for cleaning. Now, I've heard, I've never used this, we need to ask Brian. I've heard that it was very good for putting on guitar strings.
Really?
Yeah. But if you spray it in a relay, for instance, I had an old Ampex tape recorder that had a relay, and the relay was sticking. The relay wouldn't open and let the pinch roller come up to move the tape. And so I sprayed WD-40 in it, and it worked for about 2 weeks. And then, of course, it didn't work anymore because WD-40 left a residue in there, and dirt sticks to that WD-40, and it's just... It's not good for that. If you want to loosen a bolt, it's great.
Right.
If you want to loosen a nut on something or a screw, or you want to put it, if you want to oil a socket set, it's wonderful.
So when y'all sprayed it in the track, was that the deal? Y'all sprayed it to clean the track.
Yeah.
That's why y'all originally...
It's not lubricated.
Yeah. Yeah. What we found out later is that it will attract dirt, and the track is not... It is better now, but we shouldn't have done that. Yes. We should have done what Gordon Vick said originally and gotten some graphite powder.
Some graphite.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. You can go now. We're through.
Okay.
Graphite.
We'll do the email.
Good deal. He's got some good
views, doesn't
he?
Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Good job, George.
Thank you, George. Right. Our guest is Kevin Doucet, and we'll have Kevin on. And you can listen to this if you want to tune your radio to 100.1.
That's 100.1.
That's right. 9. Pardon me.
100.9.
Radio operator, 100.9. And pardon me, I forgot what frequency we were on these days. And Kevin Doucet, who is one of our favorite people, he's going to be on tonight. What we're going to talk about, we'll have him on just a minute more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on.
Made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. About the Blind Handyman List serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List, and it worked.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line, stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Blind Handyman. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, it's always nice to have folks who are your friends on the show. And here's a guy that's become a friend of ours that we never would have met had we not started doing this show. His name is Kevin Ducey. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Fine. Let me check one thing. Is it okay? Well, let's see. We've got something up to 17.
When I was 17.
Boy, it is.
That was really hot, wasn't it?
Oh, man, that was hot.
There we go.
It got awful hot here.
Let me go turn my fan on.
Turn that fan on. How are you, my boy?
Doing well. How about all you guys?
We're fine. You've moved, and you've changed jobs, and you've changed women.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't you in Alabama somewhere, Kevin?
I've even changed underwear since then.
That's good. Well, we're happy about that.
Yeah, I'm in Talladega, Alabama.
Talladega,
Alabama.
Oh, you're out there where they did the big race.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Well, that's actually technically is in Lincoln, but you know, it's just right here by Talladega. So
you weren't in the race, though, right?
No, I couldn't qualify.
That's good.
I tried.
Well, you sound happy. You were kind of down there for a while. We were worried about you. Thought you were your life was in trouble, but you sound like you're back on top again.
I'm a survivor. You know, it's not the first time I was down, and probably won't be the last.
This ain't your first rodeo.
This is true.
As they say in the biz.
That's
what I told her. This ain't my first rodeo. You know, you heard all that. Have you got all your recording stuff set back up or not?
Yeah, sure do.
So you're ready to go.
All right.
Yeah, I've even, added a little bit more to my studio, and I've got a couple of gospel groups that contacted me about, doing recording. Really, they have, some karaoke-type stuff,
Really?
And, so that's... I don't have room to have a whole band to come in, but I could have some singers come in and just do some singing over their karaoke, so...
Yeah.
That'd give me another buck or two in here.
Yeah.
Talking about some more studio toys.
Make you an extra dollar there on doing some recording on the side.
Yeah. Or, it's easier if you do it just right in front of you, really.
Well, man,
I guess that's
true. Like a plan to me.
Yeah, I guess you could have reached up and done that. Why did I have to do it? I could have just said, turn the trim pot on 17 down, couldn't I?
I turned my mic off while I was reaching.
Thomas turned his mic. Sir, did you bring me a...
No, are you ready?
Well, no, y'all talk to Kevin, I'll go get one.
Okay, get me one, too, now.
I'll get you one.
Yeah.
Y'all keep Kevin occupied, I'll be right back.
Make that river run, huh, Kevin?
Yeah, we did it.
Well, yeah, Kevin, we did.
Before Talladega, wasn't it Pratt City or somewhere like that?
Prattville,
Alabama.
Yeah, that's probably about 14 miles, I'm thinking, west of Montgomery, west, maybe a little bit northwest.
Okay, so how far is Talladega from that?
I'm about... 90 miles from there.
Oh, that's a good long way.
I've moved up in the world. I've gone north.
Gone north.
Well, let's see. If you're leaving Birmingham, going out of, is it I-65 that goes around through there? No, that goes north through Tennessee, doesn't it?
Yeah. You wouldn't take that.
It must be 59.
Yeah, and you're really on a subject that is one of my weakest points.
Okay.
Directions. 59. I always tell people, I don't do directions. They say, well, how do you get to so-and-so? I said, I put my butt in the front seat of the car and somebody drives me there.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Well, I think going up 59 and 20 one time out of Birmingham headed to Georgia. I saw the exit for the Talladega 500.
Yeah.
So it's up there. Okay, I know where you are then. Okay. We straightened that out.
Yeah, buddy. No help from me, but we got it straight somehow.
Got that covered, didn't we?
Yes. What are you talking about today? What are we going to learn from you?
I don't think we're going to learn anything from me.
I bet we do.
But what I need to know is that you've just recently done, and I'm going to be facing the same project myself, is tell us about that garbage disposal that you recently changed.
Unfortunately, it wasn't all that recent. It was about a year ago when I first moved to Talladega. Mm-hmm. And I was staying with my brother, you know, trying to get my sales square.
Trying to get it together, yeah.
Now, his garbage disposal had been shot for a while, and it was like the third one that he had, and he just decided to heck with it. So he wanted to get it taken out, and I said, well, that shouldn't be a big thing, you know. Don Shaw always says it's a doable deal, so I know we can do it.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, I looked at it and started taking it apart and everything, and I got everything off except for, I don't know what you would call them. You know, when you look down into the sink from above, you've got that drain.
Yeah.
You know, it's got sort of like a flange that seats down in there.
Yeah, well, right.
From the bottom, there was another flange, but they were reversed and one telescoped into the other.
Yeah.
And no matter what I did, you know, pulled it and pushed it and pried it and cussed it.
Yeah.
it just wouldn't turn loose, and I saw where there was a little ring that had a notch on it. And I bet I spent about 20 minutes trying to line that notch up with something invisible up inside there so I could get them loose.
And that didn't help?
Never did.
No.
So I got to scraping around with a screwdriver trying to figure out what that damn thing was.
Uh-huh.
And what it was, it was just a, I don't know if you would call it like a clamp. It wasn't a full circle because it had that little notch taken out.
Okay, but it's an O-ring that popped up into a slot.
That is
right?
It. And I just accidentally moved it with the tip of that screwdriver, and I said, look at this.
Bingo.
Like a C-clip.
And when that came off, it just all, you know.
Like thing.
Yeah, it slips up, and you slip it up, and bingo, it pops into this slot, and then you can't, you're stuck. You can't do anything else.
But, man, I was baffled. My flabber was gassed.
What a deal. Well, it's one of those deals. Like, I did the same thing for my sister one time. She went to the garbage disposal, needed changing, and I said, well, I'm going to do that. I'm Handyman Phil. I can do anything. And it took me, let's see, I think I got through with it yesterday. And we started in 61. That kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you agree you'd want to help people, and you try to help them, and you think that you think you can do this stuff, and you end up getting into a mess, which is what you did.
Yeah. It was a trip. You know,
and, you know, your brother-in-law was looking at you and going, poor Kevin, poor blind boy, thinks he knows what he's doing. He's dumb as a post. Yeah. You know he was.
It was a trip, wasn't it? It really was.
I love it. It's a good experience for you, though. Good experience for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be faced with the same deal. I'll be changing one out here.
Oh, yours has got to be changed?
Yeah, it does. And now I'm going to tie into it.
Who bought the tool? Who bought the deal to turn
it? That was
Don
Patterson about the turning tool, and I did. I broke it loose, but it's still like it'll come on and it'll turn, but boy, it'll sound like hell. I mean, it'll be clacking and just really it sounds like it's going to.
And you've run big bunches of soapy water through it, and you've run, and it's just so it's got something down in there that's
got to go.
It's got a bearing that's got to go. All right. Well. That's good. Kev, you want to come down and...
since you've had some experience doing
it. Won't you fly into Houston, we'll meet you at the airport.
Yeah.
Come up, and we'll show you, we'll fix you some of those. Well, you're the guy that doesn't eat seafood.
I'm the Cajun from New Orleans who don't eat seafood.
That does not
eat shrimp.
Because we did the shrimp when you and Dale were here, and you didn't you didn't do them.
Yeah, I always say that I refuse to eat anything that would eat me first if it had a chance.
What did we feed you that night, or did we bother?
I don't remember, but it, you know, however it went, it didn't hurt me.
Phil sure knows how to live, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said? Yeah, we had it good. That was a good weekend.
Oh, it
would have been even better if we'd known each other. We spent half the weekend getting to know each other, and you know.
That was a good time.
It was, and we're going to do it again, sir.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be able to come visit y'all again. The last two times that I've tried to schedule something like that, I had some other things in my life that was kind of counterproductive to what I really wanted to do.
Yeah,
man's got to do what a man's got to do. But you changed the guy's garbage. You got his garbage disposal out and changed, and him a new one. Did you put it? You didn't put a new one in.
He didn't want a new one in. I just, you know, got the pipe, you know, and just hooked him up, you know, without a garbage disposal.
Yeah. So you had to tie him back on to the drain where he's got a double sink, and so they both drain into the. Why would you not want a garbage disposal? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
I don't either.
Kevin, I got a question. This first flange you were talking about, the one on top now, is that the one with the rubber, like, strip things on it to, I guess, kind of push the stuff down or whatever? But
yeah.
Okay.
That was the one.
That's the one I just wasn't clear about. That. Now, is this the same plumbing project that you did where you replaced the pipe under the sink?
Well, no. Just recently, you may have seen some emails there on the list where I was, you know, telling people about I had some faucets here at, you know, at my house where I've just moved to.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a year ago, but here in Talladega. The bathroom faucets had developed a leak, and I was trying to determine where it was coming from, and, it, you know, with the help of the people on the list,
yeah,
giving me some troubleshooting tips. I found out that it was somehow coming from under the actual faucet mechanism there.
Okay.
And so I said, well, I'll just replace the entire faucet thing there. So I did that, you know, and I went and I bought excuse me, a new set of faucets. And it came with the new, what would you call it, their drain and the stopper.
Yeah, okay, the new thing, that the trap and all that stuff that goes under the sink.
Yeah, but it didn't have, I don't know how much of it is considered to be the trap, but it did have, you know, the part of it that makes the stopper move up and down and such. And I said, well...
Yeah, got to have that.
I said, well, you know, if I'm going to replace the faucets, I might as well go ahead and replace this old stuff here, you know, since I've already bought it.
Yeah.
And that was, what do you call it, stuff? PC...
PVC, PVC pipe?
Yeah. So I said, well, I should be able to just tie that into the existing metal pipe that's here.
Yeah.
Seemed like it should have worked, but I never could get it to stop leaking. And on closer examination, I found out that I had crushed the, what would you call it, the little metal ring, you know?
The flange ring?
Yeah. It was so old that it had just gotten crushed and nothing would seal anymore.
I've heard that can really be a problem going from metal to...
Now, this was when this was on the new faucets or the new drain that you put in, on the new...
it was tying the new plastic pipe into the old metal...
I got your point.
...elbow.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, checking it out a little bit closer, I said, well, it actually is, you know, starting to rust here anyway, so I'll just change out that elbow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the elbow is the trap. The thing at the bottom where it goes down and then comes back up and then turns again. That's the trap.
Okay, well, this was the part that goes, just makes a U-turn, more like a print J, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, so I said, well, I'll just replace that.
Yeah.
And I'll tie that into the metal where it goes up and makes another turn down and goes through the floor.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is already two trips to the hardware store.
Yeah, that's always my problem.
And then
with plumbing,
I couldn't get it to seat with the remaining metal part. So I said, well, crap.
Yeah.
And that remaining metal part was actually, you know, making a going up. Back
I would have just replaced it all.
And it was so long that I had pulled it all the way up to where it was against the bottom of the sink, and it still had not cleared the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
So what did you do?
Well, I finally wiggled it around, got it kind of, you know, crosswise, and did work it loose. And then
Man.
It was behind the shelf. Somebody had made a nice little shelf, and they had cut out a notch in the back of it where that pipe, you know...
Where the drain could go down.
Rest, yeah. So then I had to take the shelf off so that I could get that pipe out. So anyway, to make a short story long, I finally got all that done, and I decided I'll just replace the whole doggone thing, you know. So wound up faucets, the sink, the trap, everything, all the way is now plastic. But, you know, like you said, I should have just done that from the get-go.
and not try to.
Usually, that is the best. Just, you know, if you're going to do it, get everything, because you're having to find rides to the hardware store.
Yeah.
And then you couldn't use the sink while you were working on it.
No, luckily I have, you know, two bathrooms.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd have been in the middle of a hiss.
You would have been. Yeah. Wouldn't have been. Gone next door. Listen, and they really frown if you go next door and say, can I use your bathroom?
Yeah.
They think you're a prevert. It's a pervert. We say prevert in East Texas. It's a... we need to remind my son George not to mow the lawn while we're doing the blind handyman show. He seems to be mowing
Since we're not talking about lawnmowers today. No sound effects or anything.
So, this I remember a couple of years ago, when we were first getting started, before we ever met you, you were building this nice, and we talked a long time about this.
Yeah.
You built this stem. We thought you were building something on the wall, and sure enough, you were building a freestanding.
Yeah.
Well, did you get that in the divorce?
Yeah.
That's what we were trying to kind of get around to.
Yeah.
Find out if she gave you that in the divorce, because they'll do
she
that.
She didn't give it to me, but she wasn't keeping it either.
My first wife got my Slim Whitman albums. Took them away from me. Slim Whitman. She didn't even like Slim Whitman.
Really?
She took them. She asked for them in the divorce. I like the old Slim Whitman records. You know, that's pathetic, isn't it?
I'll always refer to 2003 as the year of the desk, because it took me a year to build that bad boy.
It did.
Yes.
It did. You worked on it a long time, but it came out, and this was, as I recall, a sort of a computer music desk.
Yeah.
So that you could put your keyboard up on the desk and have your computer there where you could get to both at the same time.
Well, the way that it turned out, when you're sitting in front of it, mm-hmm. I actually made it shorter than a standard desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You mean lower in height? It is not as tall.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the hutch part actually is probably taller, but, you know, the actual desk part is shorter. And then under it, I had a little drawer that you pull out, and that's where the computer keyboard is.
Okay.
To the left of that,
okay,
I have a little opening that I carpeted and, put all kind of stuff in there to dampen the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a door on it, and that's where the actual CPU sits.
Uh-huh.
Now, the back is totally off, with the exception of some ports there.
Yeah, so you can run wires.
Yeah, and also so the CPU doesn't choke to death. You know, it's going to be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then on top of the desk, I have my little Mackie 1202 sitting to my left. And then I have a controller.
Now, wait a minute. A Mackie 1202 is a little mixing.
Yeah, very...
Okay. I'm a little more familiar with Mackie stuff now than I was when I talked to you. 1202, is that the one that has the four mic inputs and then four line ins?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, on the line ins, each of you know the 5, 6, 7, 8 actually has two.
Are stereo line ins?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said they make one with four. Just normal mic ins and phantom power to go with them, and they make one with six also. Did you know that?
Whoa.
Yeah,
that one that David had. Remember that we were looking at?
Yeah, that we looked at.
So you've got one of those little Mackie consoles.
Yeah.
That
they're,
is cool.
They're a neat little console. I like them. They're
very
fine.
Handy. And to the right of that, and you know, I measured this out very, very precisely. I have a Roland controller keyboard. It's a 76 key, I think.
This is your MIDI that you...
Yeah, it doesn't actually generate any sounds. It only is a controller. Then above that 76 key controller keyboard, I made... it would look sort of like a podium, kind of, that will slide towards you, and also, you know, you can push it back into the hutch.
Really?
On that, I have a Mackie control surface, which allows you to, you know, be at that control surface and you know, doing some of the stops,
fast forward, you know, rewind, punch in, messing with the EQ. You know,
okay, that's where you do that sort of thing. Okay.
And then, you know, to the right of that, I have a, it's just a standalone hard disk recorder that I use when I'm, you know, going out in the field, maybe going to somebody's house, you know, wants to catch some stuff and put it on CD.
It's,
you know?
It's a Sony mini disc?
Well, no, this is a Zoom MRS. It has like a 20 gig hard drive in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And it has 8 channels also. No, 6 channels that you can record at once. Then it's got built-in drum and bass, you know, that you can use.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Now, this is a standalone CD recorder that records on standard CD blanks.
No, it records onto a hard drive.
It records onto a hard drive.
Yeah. And then it has a CD burner in it, so you can mix down.
As a CD burner built in.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
So this is what's called a workstation.
Yeah.
Basically.
We call that.
Okay.
Hard disk recorder, they usually call
it. And it has how many inputs?
It has 6 inputs that you can use simultaneously, all 6. Or you can just, you know, do individual.
Okay, but you could do those 6 and then do 6 more with them.
Yeah, and, well, you can bounce to tracks, you know.
So you can bounce to tracks, but 6 is all. It's 6 is all the tracks it will do.
It's all it can record at one time.
Okay, but you could do 6, and then you could do 6 more along with those. Like you could do bass, drums, guitar on 3, guitar on 4, a keyboard on 5 and 6, and then when you got all that done, we could go back and start over, and we could add something else to 7 and 8. We could just keep to infinity.
What you would want to do really would be never use up all of your tracks
and bounce
your 6 tracks
and bounce. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
bounce
okay.
To another track, and then you know, those go sort of like those old
FosTec.
There you go. Yeah.
I have an old 8. I did an entire album on a FosTec 8-track recorder, and everybody says, of course, they're liars. SOB's a lie right to you. Best album you ever did, Phil. Best thing you ever did. Best project you ever did, Phil. Really great stuff. Then they're going outside going, that sucks. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. But that's cool. You didn't have that last time.
No.
This is new deal.
Yeah, heard that, you know, because sometimes my friends, you know, we'll get around, you know, do a little picking and drinking, you know, and singing. And,
Oh, I can't imagine that.
You know,
I just can't imagine that.
Yeah,
really.
But a lot of times, you know, people want to archive that stuff, you know, and have copies of it and such.
You should just dump it in a CD for them.
Yeah,
a little 25 cent CD at Walmart, 25 cents, a stack or 100 for $25.
Yeah, really.
They work as good as anybody's.
That hard drive, though, would be a... Man, that sounds like the thing to have for...
Yeah. It's real handy.
Yeah.
For recording.
It would be the deal. And so you're pretty much set up now, man.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. You're getting back to that...
Well, you've gone in the bathroom now, and we're a little hurt about that now, because you've started the echo. The room noise has changed.
Well, I've got my head in the refrigerator trying to find my beer.
Are you? Is that what the deal is? All right. Well, we allow that.
I didn't want to mention that.
That's we do allow that. That's perfectly all right.
What a deal.
So you're set up, man. You can. So you got some guys that want to come in and do a karaoke.
Yeah.
They want to lay down. So what I do is always lay down their music first. And then add the voice, not try to do it all at once, because if they screw up, then you've got to, you know, you got to do everything again. You got to start over.
I've requested that they, you know, get the music to me first, because, you know, I've got some equipment where I can sort of enhance the sound.
Sure.
And you know, get it sound a little bit more brighter. And
well, you want to balance it, because a lot of that you get factory CDs that are unbalanced. The bass will be loud on one side. I always, you know.
And I'm using Sonar, you know, on my recording computer. And so for each song or project, you know, you have to give it a name, you know, name whatever the song is or whatever. Mm-hmm. So what I would do would be go ahead and have the music bed recorded, and then have the necessary tracks for how many vocalists already assigned and set up and ready to go.
You bet.
You know, so that way I can just pull it up and say, okay, we're about to do, you know, all right, whatever.
All you don't have now, all you lack, and this machine, this new 6-track machine may have it, Does it have does it have effects processor?
It does, yeah, but I don't really go that way. Mostly just for capturing things out there in the field.
You're using the effects processors in Pro Tools or what?
Well,
what
yeah, Sonar has a lot of especially the newest version has a whole lot of software effects built in, and then I have a hardware.
I don't know, compressor, effects processor.
Yeah,
so Sonar is that's the new.
Gold Wave, is it?
That's the new Gold Wave.
Not really. Gold Wave is just a stereo, one channel stereo recorder.
Yeah, two channel, left and right. Yeah. Okay.
Sonar, you're only limited by how many tracks you can record. That's just the oomph of your computer.
Memory, really?
And speed and all like that.
Whoa!
It's infinitesimal, as they tell me. Whatever the hell.
Well, you were into. Let's see. Last time you weren't into Pro Tools. You were into what's the other one that you were? You were really
SoundForge.
SoundForge. That was it.
Yeah.
You were a SoundForge guy.
I use SoundForge a lot as a tool after you have things into stereo and you bring it.
Yeah.
Because there's been some people who have brought me some things. And they say, can you put this on CD?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is just all mismatched. The balance is wrong. So I can pull it up song by song into SoundForge.
Fix it up for them.
Yeah, compress it, get it up to the right volumes, get everything level,
Okay, but now,
man,
SoundForge is a multi-track.
No. Uh-huh.
SoundForge is just two-track?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Where Pro Tools is.
Tools. This new thing you're using is called what?
Sonar. Sonar is on the PC. And Pro Tools is mostly for the Mac.
Okay. Now, you're using a Mac or PC?
PC. Yeah.
Hmm. You had just bought, I think, 2 years ago, a new Whammer Jammer, the biggest, baddest PC the world had ever known.
Yeah.
And it had arrived. I think it came in the week you were here and you were dying to get home.
Yeah, it was like 3.06 gigahertz,
And I know that didn't stay at the other house, did it?
Oh, no. I told her, all computers in the world that I can get my hands on belong to me.
Yeah.
That's fine.
What a
deal. Well, so you're fixed up, set up, ready to rock and roll, man. That's good.
The house that I bought here came with a vacant lot to the side of it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm contemplating scheming to get an actual studio built over there.
All right.
Yeah, so I've got about 1.1 acres right here in the middle of the city. So.
Cool.
Man, the biggest thing you need is the plumbing stubbed up. The forms built, the plumbing stubbed up, and the slab poured, and from then on you're home free. You can build a building yourself.
Why, sure.
If you got the strength and the energy, son, you can do it yourself. Give you a good excuse to buy air compressor.
Yeah, buddy.
And we need to talk. We need to get together and visit and talk again. You need to come back. I need to come up there. We need to do another weekend We'll actually feed you the night we cook shrimp this time, I promise. Kevin Doucet, sir, thank you much for coming on the show, and we'll talk with you in a day or two, all right?
Back on. Appreciate
thank you.
Guys.
Back with more in just a minute. Hang on. Be right back.
About the Blind Handyman List, sir?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's Blind Handyman. Dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Are you on the Blind Like Me list?
And I have made a lot of new friends on the Blind Like Me list that I'll never forget.
Well, them crazy people on that Blind Like Me list just talk about the silliest thing.
To join the Blind Like Me list, send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
Okay, I love being on the Blind Like Me list because I'm the moderator, and I get to delete people if I want to.
If you enjoy chatting with other blind folks, come join us on the Blind Like Me list. Send a blank email to blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often from blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here's more of the show with Don Shaw.
Well, it was good talking with Kevin again today, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Kevin's into these projects.
One of
man.
Our favorite people, Kevin.
Yeah, always got something going on. Sounds interesting, too, about the music and the recording.
Yeah, he's a lot more into that computerized recording than I am. I need to spend a week with him and learn some things.
Yeah, y'all need to hash that over. That'd be good. It would. And Kevin's sure not afraid to take on a project, is he?
He's not. He built this complicated, sounds complicated to me, desk affair that he's got his equipment to
set up on. Oh, sure. Yeah. And speaking of projects...
and we were speaking of projects.
I've got myself into one here.
What have you done, sir?
I am going to replace the garbage disposal at some point. When I do, probably it'll probably be this fall. I'll talk a little bit about that project when I do it. The project I'm working on right now that is absolutely blind friendly for a total, partial, anybody, would be putting down stick-on tiles in a room. Just for an example, I have a little tool room that is it's actually 7 by 11 foot. You know, I wouldn't recommend the stick-on tile like for, you know, not for an entry hall or something, but just like a closet or like something like I'm doing, like a tool room or like a washroom even, something like that. The stick-on tiles, which are 1 foot square tiles, and basically you can either get them, that they come in either colors, plain, or they come in a pattern form, either wood grain or... It may be such and such color with little squares or whatever pattern on the tiles. It just depends on what you want to get. But I will say that that'll make a difference in laying the tile, whether you get a pattern or a plain tile.
Sure. But if you had a pattern, you'd have to lay them a certain direction.
Yeah, then you get into a direction problem. But getting back to the beginning here, it's really a blind-friendly, doable project. We don't have much time here just to condense this down quickly. I pulled the carpet out of the tool room, which if you have a floor to do and you do pull some carpet, that can be iffy. I was lucky on this deal that I pulled the carpet and there wasn't any rubber foam backing on the carpet, which was a good thing because, man, it pulled up clean. The slab underneath was reasonably clean concrete. But if you had a carpet, let's say, that was glued down with a rubber foam backing and you pulled the carpet, you really could have then you might do
then you gotta
a lot
get
of scraping.
Putty knives and all just nasty stuff
it could
that you
be really bad. I really lucked out on that deal. But I pulled the carpet and it was clean. And man, I was a happy camper.
All right.
So we went down to the store, bought these stick-on tiles. It's really blind friendly, really doable. Just make sure that the floor is really clean. The two basic things you need to do right off the bat, make sure the floor is really clean, level, and start off square. And if you do those three things, you got it covered. And just get them as close together as you can.
One very quick question. Do you start in the middle?
I didn't. Not on a small room. Everybody tells me on a big room you need to pop a line, start in the middle. But on a smaller room like I am, started by one wall that I knew that was square, absolutely square, with a framing square, and just went from there.
And just went from there. And, yep. And how hard are they to cut?
Easy. Easy to cut with scissors or a box cutter, anything. Anything will cut them.
They'll cut pretty easy, and you just strip the back off and glue them down.
And stick it down.
That's a pretty good project for blind folks, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Really a blind-friendly project.
I've heard a rumor, and I wouldn't want to verify this rumor. This rumor came to me that we're having actually someone else come and visit with us next week. It hasn't been here in several weeks.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to welcome him back. We'll have, of course, a little cake with so many candles. The fire will probably drive us back. But I understand that I won't tell you who he is, but DP may be back next week. We're not sure, but we think he may be back. So I guess that will... We've had our chance to talk, haven't we, Shaw?
We have, haven't we?
We have. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Thanks, Don Shaw. Thanks for coming.
Yep.
Appreciate you. Tom Houston,
good
thank
shot.
You, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes.
See you next week at George Parr. We're going to go look at his fire. I see Sid the Blind Man as you picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.